Hey guys, welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. Today we are talking all things willpower. So if you are someone who struggles to make decisions to get you closer to your goal, or there's things that you just know you need to do, but you just don't understand why you can't do them, this episode is for you. All right, let's get on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hi, Lauren.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. It feels like it's been forever since I've seen you, even though it's only been a week. So what's been going on? What's new?
So I'm pregnant, but you already knew that, but nobody else really did.
I'm going to act like I'm totally shocked, but yeah, it's cat's out of the bag. I knew a couple weeks ago. Funny story. I actually came over here a few weeks ago to record our episode, and I always come in through Lauren's garage, and I noticed one of Sammy's bike carriers. It was like something you attach on the back of the bike. I made a comment and said, oh my gosh, Sammy's carrier is perfect for two kids, and just went on and didn't think anything of it. And then Lauren just said, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. It's like I knew.
Yeah, you totally had like a sixth sense about it.
If you guys have been with us for a while listening to the podcast, we've definitely talked a lot about Lauren's pregnancy and how you've probably heard a lot about how her first pregnancy went with Sammy. So it'll be interesting if you've joined us along this journey to see how this next pregnancy is for you and what's different, you know, the good, bad, ugly, it's all good, but how it affects you differently or if it doesn't.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that changed for me last time was that it was a lot easier for me to find balance instead of having to think like I'd be perfect all the time because I was pregnant. I was like, balance. But yeah, we'll see what changes and what fitness stuff I have to share.
Before we jump into the episode, previously on a Fit Friday episode, you talked about doing Chalene's diet beta test. So are you still doing that, or can you give everyone kind of an update?
Yeah, that was like, what, 1 month ago. And I definitely said I was going to get updates, and I didn't first because she actually asked people not talk about it on social media, which I thought was really interesting, but also because a couple of days after I started, I found out I was pregnant, so I didn't want to make any big changes. But the one thing I will say about Diet Beta Group, it was pretty controversial. So yeah, if people are interested, they should look into it, but I don't really have a recommendation since I didn't really end up doing it for very long.
Yeah, totally makes sense. When you get pregnant, you shouldn't start a new exercise program or a new diet. Basically, keep doing what you're doing before. So moving on to today's episode, we are talking all things willpower. So before we jump into what to do about it, Lauren, what is your definition of willpower? What does that mean to you?
I see willpower as a muscle, and I'm not the first person to explain willpower this way, but I think of willpower as a muscle. It's something that the more you have to use it, the harder it is for you to use it. So like if you go the whole day and you have to keep saying no to those donuts and keep saying no to those donuts, by the end of the day, if someone asks you if you want a donut, you're like, oh my gosh, you've broken me down. I will finally say yes. That's kind of how I see willpower, is something that's kind of fleeting.
I agree. I definitely, when I think willpower, I think of food in that aspect and that restriction or diet mentality. But on the flip side, I also think of it as discipline. So I also think of it in regards to, what is that quote? It's doing the things that need to be done even when you don't want to do them. So maybe that is going to the gym even though you don't necessarily want to go to the gym, or eating carrots when you really want a cookie, and kind of saying no when you know it's better for you.
Yeah, when you describe it that way, it almost makes me think of like making a logical decision versus making an emotional decision. If you make an emotional decision, you're probably going to say like, oh, I had no willpower. But if you're able to make the logical decision, the decision that you had already decided on earlier, then you'd be able to say, I had so much willpower.
I think it is tough to define though, as I have a lot of willpower, a little willpower. I think it's kind of a fluffy term. And it's hard to put concrete, this is what it is behind it, I think.
Yeah, so if someone were to say, which people tell us this all the time, like, oh, if only I had more willpower, like, how do I get more willpower? The first thing that I think that the person needs to like kind of refocus on is making a decision. The easiest example, I think, is if you are trying not to eat after dinner, you're trying not to snack at night, and you're like, oh man, I wish I had more willpower because every night it comes to it and you know, I always end up snacking. It's like, okay, well, you need to make the decision. You need to say 100%, I am not doing that anymore. When you can make like that concrete decision, then when the time comes, you don't allow yourself to make the decision again. You just say, no, I already decided I'm not eating after dinner, period. End of story. Katie and I've talked a lot about the mentality of abstaining versus finding balance. And this is kind of where that abstaining mindset comes in. I think it's kind of confusing when you think of like, oh, I want to live a balanced lifestyle, but you also want to get shit done, right? You want to meet your goals.
Right. And not depriving yourself. Because I also think of when you say, bring up that, okay, I'm not snacking after dinner, part of me instantly goes to this place of restriction where I think I've set this rule so I can never have it ever, where I think makes this a little bit gray area.
Definitely. This type of decision has to be really like personal. You can't just go through your life and say, I have 10 things I want to fix and I'm just going to like say no eating after 7, no eating sugar, no eating salt. No, like you can't live a life like that. But if there's something specific that you've identified, I think that's where this really works. Like for me, it was with sweets. And when I said just no, all of a sudden, the fact that the decision didn't have to be made anymore, that made it so much easier for me. So maybe try this out. And if you feel that deprivation, you probably know that it's not the right way to go about it for you.
I think that's a great point. One thing that I notice working with my bariatric patients, I've actually thought about this a lot because I get two different types of people, right? I give them these general guidelines to follow and basically just say, okay, month one, you know, good luck. Of course, there's more to it, but basically, you know, help them ease into it at whatever speed that they want that first month. Some patients come back and they've lost, you know, a lot of weight. I say, well, what'd you do? What went well? And some of them will say, well, I stuck to the plan. You know, I take my kids out to McDonald's at least once a week because that's, you know, what we do. And I just don't get anything from there. And I just stuck to, you know, 3 meals and no snacking. And I just quit soda. Like, and that was that.
And I think the big difference there is that these people needed to do this. If they want to have bariatric surgery, they need to follow this plan. So if something that you're doing is like affecting your health and you've been able to identify that, then you know like, okay, I need to make a change in this specific way. I'm so guilty of this, of like tweaking and kind of picking at myself because I'm trying to reach perfection. You know if that's you, and you know if like you're doing too much and you need to focus more on balance. But there are a lot of us out there that do need to make a change. So that's a good example.
Exactly. And the flip side, other people come with not necessarily excuses, but reasons for why they couldn't or why they didn't. And it just tells me right there, this person's totally ready and this person is not quite there yet, because the first person has made the decision, I'm going through with the surgery. This is what I have to do. I'm just going to do it. And everything else in between, the emotion, I think, is removed from the decision making, like you said. Lastly, I think defining why it's important to you personally, not just what society tells you. If society says, oh, no snacking after dinner, well, that's not really why you should do it. You should do it because if you personally, you know, that's where you get out of control and maybe you can't find that balance quite yet, and that's a decision that you've wanted to try that's right for you, then it's a right decision.
Yeah, that reminds me. I organized like kind of a Weight Watchers group when I was in corporate fitness, and it was just trying to get people to do more healthier lifestyle changes. So just like walking for 10 minutes during the day or getting up from your desk. And I remember there was a specific lady that really wanted to stop drinking Coke, and she would tell me that, but I could tell that she didn't really care. And I don't mean to be mean with that, but everyone knows that like they shouldn't drink soda. But if you're not ready for change, you're probably not going to find success. So you have to ask yourself, like Katie said, why does this matter to me?
So step two, let's say you've made the decision and it's worked for you the first couple days, regardless of what your goal is. But now you're starting to find old habits trickling back in, or that why isn't really as strong. Like, you, for example, let's say you really want to quit working at 5:30 and go spend time with your family. It's not that you don't want to spend time with your family. You've identified that's your why. But for some reason, you just keep staying late. You lose track of time. Things come up and you wanted to be home, but life gets in the way. So now we need to look at a different strategy of reestablishing your habits. So number one, first thing we need to do is identify the trigger. Lauren, can you think of any examples in your life where you have triggers for bad habits?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is being home alone and wanting to like watch TV and eat. So if like David's going to be out of town or something, I know that that will be a trigger for me to snack and watch TV, and it just doesn't make me feel good. So I don't like doing that.
Okay. So your trigger is being home alone. So now that we've identified the trigger, then there's a couple different options. Okay. First option that you could do would be to remove yourself from the situation or the scenario. So can you think of some different things that you could do or different environments you could put you in that obviously you wouldn't be alone?
Yeah, so having someone come over every night, that's not really my style because I do like spending time alone, but I can definitely see that as 100% that would work for me is if I had like someone to hang out with and chat with, then I wouldn't even think about like overeating.
Or I think too, even like you'll have Sammy going out to dinner with Sammy, like I know it sounds kind of weird, but by yourselves, but because it's giving you that environmental distraction. It's kind of a fun, and I mean, that takes up time if that's something that you're looking to fill your time as far as boredom, right? Because it sounds like being alone, boredom, overeating because of that emotion.
Definitely that. Yeah, definitely just like, oh, eating and watching TV is something fun to do. So finding something else that I consider fun to do with that time. But I'm going to push back a little bit. So Sammy goes to bed at 7 or, you know, even if it's 8, that means I have 2 hours that I have to fill.
That's a great point. So let's say you can't necessarily in that situation, you're not going to leave Sammy at home. You're not going to remove yourself from the situation or the scenario. So it sounds like we've identified the emotion, which is what?
Boredom.
So now we have to find different habits that give us the same satisfaction for that boredom. So snacking while watching TV makes you not bored. It gives you something to do. So can you think of other things that you can do that will help you from being bored?
Yeah, in the past I found that doing something that I haven't had time to get to, so a hobby or as silly as this sounds, like organizing a closet or something. I mean, I like to clean and I like to organize, but I don't do it that often. So the things that I found that have worked are picking something specific that I'm going to do that night, like, or pampering myself. But that's actually not as effective as like cleaning, I found. So like, oh, I'm just going to pick up my room really well. And then I'll get carried away picking up my room and then try on clothes that I forgot I had. And I'll find myself doing stuff that's not going to make me feel bad, you know, in a couple of minutes.
I love that example. I've personally found working at a desk job, I'm not moving as much. So have to find that balance of activity and balancing what you eat. And I've noticed that anytime I have snacks in my office, same thing. It's not necessarily, I think it is kind of boredom, but also just the stress of the day and it's there. And so I eat it. So for me, that's where the out of sight, out of mind rule, I guess you could say, comes into mind. Or I've kind of been in that same situation of having to, okay, this is what my trigger is. My trigger is sitting down at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We've talked about caffeine in the past and I have spare time. So I want a snack and coffee so I can either remove the situation, right? So get the snacks out of my office. Don't bring cash or a credit card into work with me, or replace something that gives me that stress relief. Maybe that's a better option, like drinking tea or decaf coffee, or maybe just limiting myself to one cup of coffee.
Yeah, and whenever I was working a full-time job, I would have those like craving periods of like 3 p.m. and I would always want something sweet. And I found that if I would pack myself a healthy snack, or I would try to do, you know, tea or something, that didn't work for me. Like, it just reminded me that I wanted something else. I found out the hard way that I needed to replace that with something completely different, something I wasn't going to put in my mouth. So I would dive a little bit deeper into work. Like, I would have like a special project I would do in the afternoon, or I would, the nature of my work was I could like walk around the campus and see people and say hi and kind of do like a social hour for myself, which was productive because I was promoting the gym, and just like getting myself out of that environment was really good for me.
If you're listening to this, like, yeah, girl, that's me. Uh-huh. In your car. Then you need to listen or read The Power of Habit. Do you know who it's written by? Stand by. We're Googling it. But it is a book that talks all about creating habits. And for me, this whole thing we've just kind of talked you through really was a game changer for me, because that whole 21 days to make or break a habit, in my opinion, it's total bullshit.
Yeah, and the author is Charles Duhigg, and we definitely just talked about this like 2 podcasts ago, but that was like 3 weeks ago. So, but yeah, the 21 day thing, it makes you think like, man, if I can only get to these 21 days, then everything will be so easy. No, not always the case.
Yeah, so it really kind of gives you examples outside of just, we talk a lot about nutrition and fitness, but it gives you a lot of other examples of things that have occurred in businesses or in the medical field, but really makes you think about, okay, it's possible, but how can we do it? And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes practice and trial and error with finding what's going to work for you.
All right, Katie, so to kind of wrap this up, let's each give an example of something that we have to make a decision on, and then a habit that we're trying to work on.
So very recently, I know with my online health and fitness business, as a master trainer working full time, there's just not enough hours in the day. And I finally had to get real with myself. And it wasn't willpower of getting more done. I just had to have a serious conversation why it's important to me. I need help. I need people on my team. I need an assistant or someone who's going to be my counterpart to help me get stuff done. So I made that decision a couple months ago. And there were quite a few times where it came up where I was going to push it off, different excuses, but I just kept that firm decision. I need help in the forefront of my head. And so I'm happy to say that this week, I know it's going to suck and it's going to be hard trying to train someone, and it's not going to happen overnight, but I've just made the decision that that's what needs to happen. So that's what I'm going to do.
Love that. What's a healthy habit or an unhealthy habit that you're trying to change?
So one habit that I've gotten really bad at is clicking the snooze button. So I've tried some different things. I identified that was my trigger, is clicking snooze and not getting out of bed for my morning workouts. So I've tried different things, but I've really dug deep into reading The Power of Habit, the 5-second rule, and different options that are going to help me keep that habit. So now I'm starting to set my alarm clock across the side of the room, set an alarm that reminds me to go to bed, and also doing the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, get up out of bed when my alarm goes off. And it's actually working for me finally, because before, just keeping my phone by my bed, clicking snooze, using 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 wasn't enough. So putting those two techniques together, I'm still working on it, but it's getting much better at recreating the habit. Okay, your turn. What is the decision that you're going to make first?
So I don't know if everyone will agree with this, but it's fine. The thing that I absolutely need to make a decision on is deciding that I'm not going to use the I'm pregnant excuse when it comes to eating. Because I've already done it. Like, just last night, I was like, David, sugar cookies sound really good. And I knew he had the ingredients because he made chocolate chip cookies like 2 weeks ago. And so he made me sugar cookies. And it was awesome. They were delicious. But I'm like, come on, Lauren. Either just say you want cookies, or just don't use pregnancy as the excuse. Because when you're pregnant, you feel like you can get away with so much. When I know deep down, I actually don't really have cravings like that. My cravings are like silly cravings, which we could talk about later, but that really wasn't a craving. That wasn't a pregnancy craving. That was just like a cookies are good situation. So I am making a decision on not using that as my excuse to eat poorly.
I love that. That's such a good point, because you totally get away with it. No one would question you. They'd just say, you're right. What else can I get for you? So just making that decision eliminates all the back and forth. What's a habit or healthier habit that you want to make or break?
So, mine is sleeping. Now, this is complicated because I have a harder time sleeping when I'm pregnant because I'm uncomfortable, but also because I have more of like an insomnia mind. I don't have insomnia, but, and for people that do, I'm so sorry, because I could only imagine it would be terrible. But my mind will just not turn off at night. It happened two nights ago. I was so tired, and then I lay down in bed, and I laid there for an hour. No phone, nothing. I just laid and thought for an hour, and I still couldn't go to bed. So the way that I'm trying to tackle this is I go to bed with David at 10. I have to lay in bed for a long, long time and try to get myself to go to sleep, because usually I will fall asleep. But if I can't go to sleep and it's been an hour, then I'll let myself go like lay on the couch, and I always fall asleep on the couch immediately, and it's annoying, but I don't want to like drive myself crazy in bed. So I've kind of given myself that buffer of like, you can go lay on the couch if you want. But the key here, I guess I'm trying to get to, is that I go to bed. Does that make sense? Rambling.
Yes. And I totally get it. But this is the thought process that you have to go through if you yourself are trying to define what habits, because it'll make sense to you. You don't have to explain it to anyone else. It'll make sense to you. Do what you need to do.
And I just want to stay up every night. I just don't want to sleep. Is that too much to ask?
I actually can relate. I want to sleep when I die, but at the same time, we need more sleep, you more so than me.
All right, friends, that is it for today, for this episode. Send us your thoughts, as always. Find us on Instagram at FitFriendsHappyHour. We have some exciting guests lined up for you guys, but send us anyone that you think should be on the show, because we would love to hear. We'd love to meet new people, someone that you think has a great message. Send them our way. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.